You're talking with Hank Gilbert, who is the candidate for Agriculture Commissioner in Texas. Hank, the Ag Commissioner race is not generally considered one of the top-tier races. It's a little farther down on the ballot. How do you go about letting people know what you're about and what this race is about?
Well, we have to use, with the stagnation of the Democratic Party over the last several years, I've found that we have to take every available opportunity that we can through any means possible to communicate our message. Of course, this convention is the highlight where we're going to have the largest group of Democratic people together at one time in the state. But in order to win this race, in order to win any down ballot races, it's not only going to take the block vote of all the Democrats in the state of Texas. It's also going to take an appeal to the independent voters and to the Republican voters that are sick and tired of their own party. And that number is growing daily. Every time our president and every time our governor opens their mouth, they're encouraging people to vote for our ticket.
Now, you're running against Todd Staples, I believe, former state senator. How do you draw a distinction between yourself and him when you're talking to voters?
It's very easy to draw that distinction. Having grown up not far from Todd and knowing a little bit about him, there's vast differences between me and Todd. Whereas I have been involved in agriculture my entire life, Todd has not been involved in agriculture whatsoever, other than saying he's a graduate of Texas A&M University, in which he majored in ag economics. From graduation until present date, he's been continually groomed and involved in politics, not agriculture. And whereas I have a vested interest in agriculture, not only present day, but future agriculture, because my two young sons are also involved in agriculture, Todd has a vested interest in politics. And it's time that we separate the two, because politics can go on forever, but politics will never feed anyone. Agriculture, however, can't. If agriculture fails, people fail, because it's the lifeblood not only of the Texas economy, but it's the lifeblood of human life.
When you say you've been in agriculture all your life, tell me about that. What is your background in agriculture and, for that matter, in politics?
Well, the agriculture list is a lot longer than the political list. I grew up on a farm, a cattle operation, and I've had cattle and owned cattle for as long as I can remember. I graduated from Texas A&M University and taught high school agriculture for 13 years in Northeast Texas. Since that time, I quit teaching in 1994, and my wife and I own a small mold remediation business, but our primary interest is agriculture, and we, along with our two sons, raise cattle in Northeast Texas. As far as politics, never been involved in politics. I took the same approach about 4 years ago. We have a local water co-op in our area that was very corrupt. It was doing the 2,500 co-op members on the co-op a great disservice, overcharging us. Very poor quality water, very poor service. Ran for the board of directors for that water co-op against the sitting president that was the most corrupt person on the board. And people told me up front, there's no way you can win. You cannot beat this guy. Not only did we beat him so bad that he reclined the nomination to run again once we had our annual meeting. And since that time, we've had a complete changeover of that board, increased productivity, increased efficiency, and lowered everybody's water rates by 35%. So it can be done. I was told when I first signed up for this race, you can't win. You can have a good time and make some contacts, come back 4 years from now and be a stronger candidate, but people that say that to me don't know me, because I will win. And kids that I've taught around the state are actively campaigning for me and putting on fundraisers because they know that I can win this office, and we will win this office.
What are the biggest issues facing farmers and ranchers in Texas today, and what specifically can the agriculture commissioner do about it that, say, the governor or the legislature cannot?
Well, you know, there's a lot of issues facing Texas agriculture that are in vast need of improvement. One, and I guess probably the most important that I hear from people involved in agriculture around the state, is this new initiative called the National Animal ID System. It's federal legislation that was sponsored by the big three meat packers in the country, Cargill, Swift, and Tyson's, in an effort to, on the surface, prove traceability back all the way to the owner of the animal, when in essence it's one large move to privatize the beef cattle industry. In Texas, 70% of all the beef raised in the state of Texas is grown by individual producers that own less than 50 head of cattle. The example that they use in this legislation, both on the national level and on the state level, House Bill 1361 on the state level, in which my opponent supported, is that it gives traceability back to the origin of the animal. And they use Brazil as an example of how they are dominating the beef cattle export market now, because they have a nationwide animal ID system. Now, what people don't realize is that when you look at Brazil, it's 100% corporate farming. So it's easy for a traceability system to work. In Texas, not only is it not easy, it's not economical. And that's the purpose of the legislation, because small part-time farmers in the cattle industry will practically be forced out of the industry because of the cost overruns that this thing is going to produce.
Okay.
That's the largest. Second, to answer your question, is the Trans-Texas Corridor. A superhighway that Governor Perry and my opponent, who co-authored the legislation in the Senate, feels that it is something that Texas desperately needs to draw industry to this state. Number one, if they would talk to industry, that's not industry's biggest concern. Industry's biggest concern about coming into Texas is an uneducated, illiterate workforce, which is predicated by the fact that we are running a 40% plus dropout rate among our high school students. So education is a prohibitive factor to industry growth in Texas. And when and if our legislative system ever figures that out and begins to make moves to correct that, you will see Texas flourish as an industrial state. Now, getting back to the Trans-Texas Corridor, it's the largest land grab ever in the history of the state of Texas. Going to consume 146 acres of farmland for 578 miles across the state. And where my opponent champions private property ownership rights, he in turn is the very one, by co-authoring this legislation, that's saying we need this highway, and through eminent domain we're going to take your land to put it in. Any civilized country that ever developed economically did so when they developed north-south transportation routes. We have two existing north-south transportation routes that run from the northern part of our state to our port areas of shipment in Houston and the Gulf Coast area. Interstate Highway 35 and U.S. Highway 59. Both could be widened. They have existing easements with federal dollars rather than individual taxpayer dollars from the citizens of Texas, which would provide plenty and all needed traffic lanes for trucking.
Now, I've heard that the Trans-Texas Corridor, as much as anything, is about water rights. Can you speak to that?
Sure. That's the best-kept secret about the Trans-Texas Corridor. My opponent, in his hometown and senatorial district, we have a museum-type railroad system, an old steam locomotive railroad that runs between the towns of Rusk and Palestine. And my opponent is from Palestine. It's called the Texas State Railroad. They lost their funding this year for that railroad. It's funded through the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. And the citizens of that area, this railroad brings in $8 to $10 million to the local economies of those two towns. And the citizens of that area appealed to their state senator, Todd Staples, to help save that railroad. And he never came forward. It was later determined that the reason he didn't come forward, because in August last year, before the session ended, he authored a resolution along with the Upper Neches River Valley, or Neches River Authority, and Water District C, the Dallas-Fort Worth Water District, which owns 67% of all the water rights in Texas, to dam up the Neches River, flood 30,000 acres of timberland and wildlife land, which ultimately will also flood parts of the Texas State Railroad, to develop Lake Fastrill, a reservoir built by Water District C, in which all the water from that lake will be pumped to Dallas-Fort Worth area, to industrial and manufacturing operatives that are key financial contributors to his campaign. And he hung his own people out in his own hometown, in his own senatorial district, to dry over this railroad. Then in the last minute came to him with a stopgap thing that he's going to get additional funding for this year. The additional funding for this year is now coming out of the 2007 Parks and Wildlife budget. No additional funding. Money that was allocated for them in next year's budget is being paid to run it this year. So we are in the brinks of losing a very historical, monumental piece of East Texas history in his home district. And my question to people is, if he's willing to do that to people in his own hometown, in his own senatorial district, what will he do to the agriculture producers in this state in order to further his political career for governor?
And how does that relate to the Trans-Texas Corridor?
The Trans-Texas Corridor, the best-kept secret of the Trans-Texas Corridor is these big, huge water transmission lines that are going to be located within this quarter-mile-wide set of highways. And the design of the Trans-Texas Corridor through the water system is to pull water out of East Texas into these transmission lines to send to Water District C in Dallas-Fort Worth and to send to the Houston area, and I've heard as far as San Antonio area. And the people of East Texas and Northeast Texas have no idea that this exists in this plan.
All right, so this reservoir is going to create is to ship the water elsewhere as
well.
Well,
actually, that reservoir I don't know will actually be connected to the Trans-Texas Corridor because the city of Dallas already has water lines coming from other lakes in that area that would be easier to tap into for transmission. However, the Trans-Texas Corridor will create the ability for the legislature to create more reservoirs in East Texas by condemning more productive agricultural land, as well as wells along the corridor that could feed into that pipeline, pulling water from East Texas and distributing it mainly to major water users and wasters of water in our state, because they are large contributors to Republican campaigns.
If you're elected agriculture commissioner, what is the first thing you want to do?
The very first thing I want to do is go to Mexico City and meet with the officials over Mexican agriculture to make NAFTA a workable, usable treaty that benefits not only Mexico, but also benefits the citizens of the state of Texas. NAFTA, as well as CAFTA and all the other AFTAs, have become exactly what the agriculture industry in this country thought they would become. A one-way gate for the producers of other countries to filter products into our state and into our country without any recourse for us to send products back across the other way. We currently, Mexico is shipping over 150,000 head of cattle across our borders every month. However, we're not allowed to ship any live cattle across their borders through Mexico or into Mexico. The same thing with food crops. I put a deal on the blogs last week about Governor Perry's misguided sense of security when he stated that he's going to allocate $10 or $20 million this year and $100 million next year for cameras located on private land, infrared cameras to catch illegals coming across our borders day or night because of a terrorist threat. Now, I can understand where possibly with enough money, a terrorist organization could convince an immigrant to carry a bomb or something strapped to his body if they ensure that immigrant that his family will be taken care of the rest of their lives. and that bomb or whatever could actually probably kill a few thousand people. Yet every day we have truckload after truckload of fruits and vegetables come across our border bridges from Mexico and from Central America into our state to be consumed by our citizens, and less than 1% of those shipments are tested for anything that we ban our producers from using on food products. Now, if I'm a terrorist, if I wanted to really make an impact on a large group of people, I could inoculate one shipment of cantaloupes and wipe out far more people than one immigrant carrying a bomb on his back. But no money, no extra employees, no technology has been assigned by our current Commissioner of Agriculture or our governor to those border crossings to test those materials. And they can get a device that you can probe into a human being, a live carcass, any fruit and vegetable, and within 3 hours tell you anything and everything that ever has been applied to or into that product.
Hey, Gilbert, thank you very much for your time. Good luck with your race.
Thank you.